Okay, tonight we're going to hit, move into a very important area, but you cannot believe how, and I'm going to say biblical scholars, and the men that I do look at are very good in languages. That's why I've got them, and they're generally pretty sound in what they bring into conclusions. However, we're going to deal tonight with an issue that they do not deal with, and it really is a complicated area. So we're going to go through this and dealing with the week that Christ died. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Now, first of all, in regard to prayer, our nephew plays baseball, and how old is Cameron? 12, and he got hit right here with a baseball really hard, and it broke a bone, and but apparently it did not put his eyesight into danger, and I sent him a $10 bill and a card, and I said on the card, I said, enclosed you'll find a $100 bill. And I went, oh, so your eyesight's not as bad as you thought it was. But please be in prayer for Cameron and the healing of his eye and all. And let's see, any other prayer requests? Here, how's your leg?
Still got a hole in it.
Still got a hole in it, all right. I at the class, we can all go by, stick our finger in your leg. And let's do a prayer for the healing of his leg. And let's see, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, sir. Okay. Get in prayer. Sounds good. Thank you for sharing it. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Now, the purpose of the prayer. This is not a ritualistic prayer. It's a very important prayer. It's time to test yourself, see if you're trusting the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. I'm not the teacher. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. And how do we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit? By faith, trusting Him to do what He was sent to do. Just like we trusted Christ to do what He was sent to do, we trust the Spirit to do what He's sent to do. So let's spend a moment in prayer and prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. Without it, Heavenly Father, we would be total in the darkness. But Heavenly Father, if it were not for Your Spirit, we'd still be in the darkness. So we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You'd have us to see and understand and live in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, John 19, verse 40. John 19:40. We are now moving to the burial of Jesus Christ. We started it last week, so let's just continue. And to the burial of Jesus Christ. And verse 40. So they, Joseph of Arimathea, and Nicodemus, and then we can conclude, their servants, took from the cross the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with spices. And we've studied the spices, 100 pounds of a mixture of myrrh and aloes brought by Nicodemus, as we saw last week. Why didn't Joseph of Arimathea bring anything? I think that these two men had talked. On this very important day, they had to get that body off the cross and in the tomb by 6. And they both know that. And they agreed that Joseph would go before Pilate, ask for the body, and Nicodemus would bring the spices. So they took the body down from the cross and proceeded to wrap Jesus' body in linen wrappings. Probably pieces, since we noted last week, two different Greek words. One word is used in some context, meaning pieces. Another, usually for the burial of Christ, is for a whole sheep. So what has happened is, they probably buried the parts, wrapped them up, and then put a sheet over the entire body. Verse 41. Now, in the place where he was crucified there was a garden. And we have a few points as to the very few information about where he was crucified. Now, what I want you to do is turn your Bibles to Matthew 27. And we're looking at it from John, but let's look at Matthew 27. Matthew 27, and let's begin reading together verse 32. As they were coming out, they found a man, a Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, Golgotha is a transliteration from the Chaldean, they gave him wine to drink, mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. Now, we've put the other gospel accounts, and this, what he's done here, is spread out with other things in between, but this is the account that is given to us at this point. Now, verse 35. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. Now, that's the extent of it. Now, what I want you to do is look at Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. And let's read from verse 22. Mark 15, verse 22. And while they were eating, he took some bread, after a blessing, broke it, and they gave thanks, gave it to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now, and when he had taken the cup, and Mark 15, 22, that's not verse 22? Well, and let's go to Mark 15 then, since that's where I'm supposed to be, and not in 14. All right? How about that? Let's go to Mark 15. I'll get with you. All right, Mark 15, verse 22. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. And they tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And we studied all of this when he was on the cross. And they crucified him, divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots, to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. Now, let's go to John 19. John 19, back to John 19. John 19, verse 16. John 19, verse 16. So he then delivered him to them to be crucified. They took Jesus, therefore, and went out bearing his own cross to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on either side, and Jesus in between. They crucified him. Now we do not know where the crucifixion of Jesus Christ took place. Last week we briefly touched on it. The Roman Catholic Church says it was a sepulcher, the Church of the Holy Sepulcher. Other people think it's a place called the Garden Tomb. It cannot be proven either place. I like the Garden Tomb, been there, and if it isn't the place, it certainly is the kind of place that he would have been crucified and buried in. But only John mentions that there's a garden. Only John mentions the garden in John 18, the Garden of Gethsemane. He's the only one who calls it a garden. And Gethsemane is mentioned by both Matthew and Mark. Now, John 19:41. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had been laid. Now, Matthew tells us exactly to whom the tomb belonged, and we're going to come to that next week. I've got something I want to cover tonight, and I need the time to cover it. Now, all the Gospels make an issue out of the fact that no one had been laid in this tomb, and we'll come to that. Now, let's go to John 19:42. Therefore, The Greek conjunction here is used to introduce corresponding circumstances. Therefore, because introduces an immediate cause of the Jewish day of preparation. The Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Now, there is a lot going on here, but what I want to concentrate on right now, this is the day of preparation and for the celebration of the Sabbath. His body must be in the grave by dark or 6 p.m. So they certainly did not have time to carry the body of Jesus any distance. But there was a tomb nearby, and we'll come to that tomb next week. This is proof that Jesus Christ is indeed dead, not alive, as some people contend. Now, Jewish day of preparation. This introduces problems. Problems that probably most pastors and preachers will just bypass, as there are some commentaries. But it presents some problems for many people, especially those who do not understand the special week in history in which Christ was crucified according to the Jewish calendar. There is a high Sabbath on Wednesday night through Thursday, 6 p.m. And then the regular Sabbath on Friday night through Saturday, 6 p.m. Now, the Greek word, parousku, from the root to prepare, to make ready, preparation. In the Jewish calendar, this was the day before the Sabbath. The day of preparation is the day before the Sabbath. Remember, Jewish time is not Roman time. Roman time, 12 midnight to 12 midnight. That's not Jewish time. Jewish time is 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. The new day starts at 6 p.m. So, let's look at Mark 15 for a moment. Mark 15. I want you to see how this is going to present some problems. Mark 15, verse 42. When evening had already come, because it was the day of preparation, our word. But know what Mark asked, or Peter, know what he asked. That is the day before the Sabbath. Okay. Put this day in perspective of all that had taken place this day, and we get an idea of how important this day is. Now, in John 19:42, we have a problem. If this, here's what is the problem for you. If this refers to the day of preparation before Friday, which most Protestants and Roman Catholics definitely teach, that he was crucified Friday. If this happened before Friday night and the Saturday's Passover, this would mean that Jesus Christ is being sent to execution by crucifixion about the same time the Passover lambs were being slaughtered. What's the problem? Here's the problem. Remember, Jesus ate the Passover meal with his disciples the night before his crucifixion. Therefore, if this were Thursday evening, it was not a Passover meal. And yet Scripture is very clear that it is a Passover meal. You read the accounts given to us. It makes it clear that Jesus ate the Passover meal with his disciples. Kind of help us. Look at John 13. John 13, 1 through 4. John 13, 1 through 4. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own, who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, let's continue reading. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God, and was now going back to God, rose from supper, Passover, laid aside his garments, taking a towel, he girded himself about. That's going to be the foot washing. Now, so here's our problem, people. He's eating a Passover meal with his disciples. But if you're going to be honest with the text, how can you say he's eating a Passover meal and yet is going to be crucified on Friday? Eating the Passover meal Thursday evening. It cannot happen that way. It simply cannot occur. There are many passages that mention this week and the Passover in John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, how are we going to resolve this problem? The what? Because if he's crucified Friday, because that would make Thursday the Passover, because he's eating the Passover meal Thursday night, and they're going to celebrate it Friday night. So somebody's wrong. Okay, now, what I want you to do, I've given you two different things. First of all, look at the chronology of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, rather than redo this great work, and it doesn't have to come with a name, and I'm sorry, but I decided I'm not going to redo it. I'm just going to print it up, give it to you. That way you'll have it, you can study it, and go over it. So let's just work our way through the chronology of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection and the Sabbath. Does anyone not understand our problem of the Sabbath? If Christ is eating with his disciples on the Sabbath, then it's not the Sabbath if he's crucified on Friday. Okay, let's go to his opening paragraph. The key to understanding the chronology of the events leading up to and including Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection is that there were two Sabbaths that week. And any good historical analysis of the Jewish calendar will show you this. Two Sabbaths that week, with a day of preparation between them. This makes all of the gospel accounts fall into place. The fulfillment of Christ's words became clear. A correct harmonization of all the facts will bear this out. So what we're going to do is go through these things and see if we can figure out the solution. As I said, some really good people, D.A. Carson, some good men, they ramble. They ramble through this and bring out the problem. Now, some don't even do that. Some completely ignore it and just teach it as the way it's written. But some of these bring it out. And then they worked on trying to dance around straightening it out. See, you don't have to dance around this. You don't have to pull strings. You don't have to say somehow it's hidden in the language. Let's see what's going on. Okay. The events. How we know. Let's go to the events. Tuesday evening, Nisan 13. Jesus and the 12 disciples come into Jerusalem from Bethany to partake of the Passover meal. All right, now on the, how do we know? John and Peter were sent ahead of time to locate a place for the meal and to make preparation for it. And then we go to Mark 14:17. Then it says, Jesus ate an early evening Passover meal with his disciples. After the meal, he walked with his disciples. Now, on how do we know? Passover is observed on the 14th of Nisan. Passover is the 14th. Well, we're looking at what Jesus is doing in preparation. Every year of Nisan, every year, Leviticus 23:5. Jesus and his disciples partook of the Passover in the early evening of the previous day. Days are calculated from sunset to sunset, not midnight to midnight. Now go back over to Tuesday. Jesus was betrayed by Judas at the Olive Grove in Gethsemane, arrested. This is all after he has had the Passover. So it's night. In the Garden of Gethsemane, arrested, brought before the high priest, Caiaphas. trial ends at daybreak. Gethsemane is the foot of the Mount of Olives, not far from the Brook of Kindred, which John talks about, Christ walked over, and takes its name from a cave that there contained an oil press. Thus, Gethsemane. Okay, now, let's go to Wednesday. It's now Wednesday. Nisan 14. Preparation day for the annual, not the weekly, the annual Sabbath. The weekly Sabbath on Friday is going to be observed. But this is not talking about that one. This is an annual Sabbath. And by the plan of God, the control of God, it is no accident that it occurred on this week, that his son was going to be crucified, that all these scriptures could be put into place. In the morning, Jesus was brought before Pilate, before Pilate the governor, day of preparation. Jesus was crucified and dies around 3 p.m. Jesus' body was placed in the tomb at twilight. Annual Sabbath begins at sunset. Sunset at this time of the year in Jerusalem is about 6:30 to 7 p.m. Now let's go, how do we know? Luke 23:44 shows that Jesus died around the ninth hour, or approximately 3 p.m. He would have been buried before sunset because of the approaching Sabbath, for that Sabbath day was a high day. A high day. John 19:31 mentions that the day following Jesus' crucifixion was a high day, as opposed to the weekly seventh-day Sabbath. Two Sabbaths. First, an annual holy day, and then the regular weekly Sabbath are mentioned in the gospel accounts. And he tells you to compare Mark 16:1 with Luke 23:56. Now, parentheses. I don't care if somebody believes he was crucified on Friday, and that he died bearing the judgment of the sins of the world, and that he rose from the grave victoriously. I can have full fellowship with that. They've got problems with Scripture. I don't want to cause you any kind of trouble with family members at some kind of a family meal at the Easter time. I don't want you breaking everybody's heart who wasn't crucified on Friday. And look at these passages. I don't want you confusing people. I want you pulling out all... Well, now, if this is the Passover and this is the Passover, what did he do? How did he do all this? That's not my purpose. My purpose is that you and I can understand Scripture. And that we will be honest with Scripture. Not just slide by. That's the whole purpose of tonight's class. I don't want to slide by what's going on historically, biblically. Because you do have a major problem if you stay with the text and you compare Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the words of the day of preparation and the Passover. You've got some problems. They're not problems if we understand this particular week is an annual Sabbath in the middle of the week. Now, this brings us to Thursday by this calculation. Nisan 15. This was the first annual Sabbath, or High Day, the first day of unleavened bread. The tomb is guarded and secured by sealing it with a stone. The annual Sabbath ends at sunset. This is an annual Sabbath. No, it's not the first in history. No, this is not the first in history. No, this is not the first one in history. This is the week of the week that Christ died, the year Christ died. This is the week that it occurred. God's in control. Okay. Now, how do we know these? Look at John 19:31 mentions the day following Jesus' crucifixion was a high day as opposed to the weekly seven-day Sabbath. That's Friday. Two Sabbaths. First, an annual holy day, and then the regular weekly Sabbath, that will be Friday night and all day Saturday, are mentioned in the Gospel accounts. The 15th of Nisan, Thursday, is the first holy day, high day, or annual Sabbath of the 7-day festival of unleavened bread. It begins at sunset on the 14th. That's the time Christ was put into the grave, to the tomb. So that night, Wednesday night at 6, to Thursday morning at 6, that's your first night. He's in the grave 3 days, 3 nights. There's another problem with people that say the crucifixion was Friday. How are you going to get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday at 6 o'clock to the resurrection? Can't do it. You can fudge it, but you can't really do it. Not 3 days and 3 nights. But if we understand what happened historically in the plan of God, no problem at all. We don't have to do any kind of juggling or trying to fix it. So, Wednesday evening, he's in the grave by 6 p.m. and to Thursday morning, 6 a.m., first night. That brings us to Thursday, Nisan the 15th, and this was the first annual Sabbath of the high day, and the tomb is guarded, so this is taking the night of the first night. Okay, let's go to Friday. By the way, Thursday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., is day one. So we've covered night one, day one. Now, let's look at Friday the 16th, Nisan the 16th. While annual Sabbath now over, the women brought and prepared spices for anointing Jesus' body. The weekly Sabbath begins at sunset Friday night. No work is to be done as commanded in the fourth commandment. It is so much fun to be in Israel, in Jerusalem area, in Israel, on this time of the weekend. We went to the great Holy Cross Museum and were there, and we made the mistake of going on Friday, and we realized we better get home now, leave them early, get back to our hotel, otherwise cabs don't work, buses don't work, nothing works. I mean, you're stuck. And so we had to get back to the hotel. And it kind of shocked me. We stayed in two different places. We stayed at the Christ Church in Jerusalem the last week. But the first week we stayed in a hotel that we got off of our package that we went over with. Really, really nice, big, fine hotel. Couldn't order anything to eat except stuff that they already had made up, and they bring it made up. I was all ready for a nice, good steak dinner or something like that. Nope. Fires don't burn. Ovens don't burn. Nothing happens. It's closed down. And that's just the way it is. And the elevator in this beautiful hotel, really interesting. On the ones coming around from this side. This side of the, here are the elevators. On this side over here, as I recall, it stopped on every floor. Stopped on every floor. Because it can't work by pushing buttons to a floor. So it just automatically stopped. Now over here, for us Gentiles, you can push floor 16 or whatever, and it just took you. Now, I wanted so much, but my darling wife would not let me. I wanted to ask you, if it's work to push a button, why isn't it work to turn a key and unlock your door? But she wouldn't let me cause any trouble, and so I had to just go along with that. But this is the Sabbath. Okay, so Friday the 16th. The weekly Sabbath begins at sunset Friday night. No work is to be done as commanded in the fourth commandment. Now let's look on the right side of our paper. Mark 16:1 tells us, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. Luke's account also describes how the women prepared the spices and ointment. And then they rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment, Luke 23:56. Thus, according to these two accounts, they brought the spices and prepared them after the Sabbath, yet before Sabbath. After the Sabbath of the year, before the Sabbath this one. There had to be two Sabbaths involved with a day of preparation in between to make all of this flow correctly. That's all we're dealing with here. Now, so we've seen Wednesday evening, 6 p.m., to Thursday morning, 6 a.m., night one. We saw Thursday morning, 6 a.m., to Thursday evening, 6 p.m., day one. Thursday evening, 6 p.m., to Thursday morning, to Friday morning, is 6 a.m., night two. Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday, Friday night, day two. Now we come to Friday, and Friday night, 6 p.m. to Saturday morning, 6 a.m., night three. Okay? Now, let's go to Saturday. Saturday, Nisan 17, the weekly Sabbath. The women rested on the weekly Sabbath. Obviously, Jesus rose around sunset. He rose around sunset, exactly 3 days and three nights, 72 hours after the burial, to fulfill the sign of Jonah and authenticate Jesus' messiahship. The weekly Sabbath ends at sunset Saturday night. That's when he rose. Now, let's go on. How do we know? Jesus' promise was fulfilled exactly as he said it would. He said that, like the prophet Jonah, he would be entombed 3 days and three nights, and that then he would be raised up from the dead the third day after his crucifixion and death. And it gives you the scripture references. Now we come to Sunday. Sunday, Nisan the 18th. The women brought and they prepared spices early in the morning, while it was still dark. When they arrived, they found that Jesus had already risen. He had already risen. Now, that's how do we know? Right side of the paper. Jesus' resurrection had already taken place by the time Mary Magdalene arrived at dawn Sunday morning. John 20:1-2, which we will study. In Matthew's account, he states that in the end of or after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, they came to see the sepulcher. The original Greek word used here for Sabbath is actually plural, should be translated Sabbaths. Again, if you're going to be honest with the text. Okay? So this is what happens. Now, page 5. From the Companion Bible published by Cradle Publications, appendix 6 days before the Passover. We are furnished by Scripture with certain facts and fixed points which, taken together, enable us, 1, to determine the events which filled up the days of the last week of our Lord's life on earth. 2, to fix the day of greater crucifixion. And 3, to ascertain the duration of the time remained in the tomb. The difficulties connected with these three have arisen from not having noted these fixed points. 2, from the fact of Gentiles not having been conversant with the law concerning the three great feasts of the Lord, and 3, from not having reckoned the days of commencing some 6 hours before our own, and returning. That's 6 p.m., 6 in the morning, 6 in the evening. And returning from sunset to sunset instead of from midnight to midnight. To remove these difficulties, we must know, one, that the first day of each of the three feasts, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, was a holy convocation, a Sabbath, on which no servile work was to be done, Leviticus passage and Exodus. That Sabbath and the high day of John 19:31 was the holy convocation, the first day of the feast, which quite overshadowed the ordinary weekly Sabbath on Friday, Saturday. It was called by the Jews Yom Tov, good day. If you want to do any kind of work with Google on the internet, these are the kind of things you put in the computer. This is the greeting of that day. This is the high one throughout Jewry down to the present time. This great Sabbath, having been mistaken from the earliest times for the weekly Sabbath, has led to all the confusion. Roman numeral 2. This has naturally caused a further difficulty as to the Lord's statement, even as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Now, while it is quite correct to speak accordingly to Hebrew idiom 3 days and three nights, while they are only parts of 3 days and three nights, yet that idiom does not apply in case like this where three nights are mentioned in addition to 3 days. A lot of people say 3 days, well, that's just part of the 3 days. And I agree, that could be part. People, you've got to understand the Hebrew just for understanding the restoration of the earth in Genesis 1. Are those 24-hour days? You got to understand how to read them. They are. They're 24-hour days. Yes. I'm sorry, I forgot to put in my plug, ear plug. Yes. Okay. Lazarus was what we call resuscitated, to die again. When you're resurrected, you never die. Jesus Christ is the only resurrected. He's the first resurrected. Lazarus will die again.
Okay, so he's not dead anymore.
He was dead, physically dead.
So firstborn from the dead, firstborn
in resurrection. In resurrection. Yeah, in resurrection. That's what Paul was saying. That Lazarus resuscitated to die again. Jesus Christ resurrected to never die again. And people, we will be resurrected to never die again. Be forever with the Lord in the air. Okay. So, I hope you understand the Roman numeral 2. This is important to just saying, well, 3 days can be a part of 3 days. Parts of Friday, parts of Saturday, parts of Sunday. See, it's 3 days. That's fine. And there are places in the Hebrew and the text you can do that. But when you have 3 days and three nights combined, you can't do that. You cannot just slough it off. Roman numeral 3. We have therefore the following facts furnished for our sure guidance. 1. The high day of John 19:31 was the first day of the feast. 2. The first day of the feast was the 15th day of Nisan. 3. The 15th day of Nisan commenced at sunset on what we shall call the 14th. 4. 6 days before the Passover, John 12:1, takes us back to the 9th day of Nisan. After 2 days is the Passover, and he gives Matthew Mark, takes us to the 13th day of Nisan. Okay, now, I know we're just reading this. The reason I did not want to redo it and try to do something else with it, I also want you to have this. If you're serious about this, take this papers home. Look at the passages of Scripture. Do what I do. Get a big table and have all your paper out there and your dates. Have dates up here and have their sheets telling what happened and your Scripture references. Do all of that type of work. And you'll see how important tonight's class is. Point six. The first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, was from our Saturday sunset to our Sunday sunset. This fixes the days of the week just as the above fixed the days of the month. Now, seven. Reckoning back from this, 3 days and three nights, we arrive at the day of the burial, which must have been before sunset on the 14th of Nisan, i.e. before our Wednesday sunset. Now, let me just, again, parentheses, parenthetical remark to you. There are people who believe it was Thursday. There are people who believe it was Friday. That's fine. I have no problem fellowshipping. And I wouldn't bring up all this stuff unless there was somebody who really wanted to get into it. As long as we believe he died bearing the judgment of the sins of the world on that cross and rose again to never die again, I can have full fellowship. But I'm a teacher of the Word of God. That's what I have to do. I want to deal with the honesty of the text. And that's what we're looking at here. So point eight, this makes the sixth day before the Passover, the ninth day of Nisan, to be our Thursday sunset to Friday sunset. Therefore, Wednesday, Nisan 14, commencing on Tuesday at sunset, was the preparation day on which the crucifixion took place. For all four Gospels definitely say that this was the day on which the Lord was buried before our Wednesday sunset, because it was the preparation day. They all use the same word that we just looked at in John. The bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day. Therefore, not the ordinary Sabbath or weekly Sabbath. John 19:31. Roman numeral 4. It follows, therefore, that the Lord was being crucified on preparation day. And remember, the lambs were slaughtered. He could not have eaten the Passover lamb, which was not slain until the evening of the 14th of Nisan, i.e. in the afternoon. On that day, the daily sacrifice was killed at the sixth hour, noon, offered about the seventh hour, 1 p.m. The killing of the Passover lamb began directly afterward. Thus it is clear that if the killing of the Passover lamb did not commence until about 4 hours after our Lord had been hanging upon the cross, and would not have been concluded at the ninth hour, 3 p.m., when he gave up the ghost, is what he says, you and I have studied that, no Passover lamb could have been eaten at the Last Supper or on the previous evening. Roman numeral 5. Any questions as we go through this, please ask. I think this, whoever did this did an excellent job.
Then every year was in midweek. Is that correct?
Every year. Once a year.
It's always in the middle of the week.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, Roman number 5. With these facts before us, we are now in a position to fill the several days of the Lord's last week with the events recorded in the Gospel by noting that the Lord returned to Bethany or to the Mount of Olives each night of that week. We are able to determine both the several days and the events that took place in them. So let's just enjoy going over the Lord's last week. The Lord approaches Jerusalem from Jericho, and he gives you the reference to. He passes our Thursday night at the house of Zacharias, Luke, and delivers the parable of the pounds, Luke. He proceeds toward Jerusalem, Luke. He sends two disciples, for an ass and a colt, two animals, Matthew, and makes his first entry from Bethage, not Bethany. He is unexpected, and they ask, who is this? He cleanses the temple. He returns to Bethany. The fifth day before the Passover, the tenth day of Nisan, on Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, the Lord passes the Sabbath at Bethany. And at the sunset on our Saturday, the first of three suppers was made, probably at the house of Lazarus in Bethany. As this supper, the first of two anointings took place. You can read those. The fourth day before the Passover, the 11th day of Nisan, our Saturday sunset to Sunday sunset, Gentile Palm Sunday. The second, our triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he sends two disciples for a colt, one animal. The Lord starts from Bethany, not Bethage, and is met by multitudes from Jerusalem. And I'm not reading the Bible references, you can do that. He leaps over the city, he enters the temple, looks around, and returns to Bethany. The third day before the Passover, the 12th day of Nisan, our Sunday sunset to Monday sunset. Remember Jewish time. In the morning, our Monday morning a.m., the Lord returns to Jerusalem. The fig tree is cursed, the temple, further cleansing. In the temple, further teaching certain Greeks of opposition of the rulers. He goes out of the city, probably to Bethany. See, then he gives a reference. Second day before Passover, the 13th day of Nisan, our Monday sunset to Tuesday sunset. Now get this down, because tomorrow he's going to be crucified. Monday sunset, Tuesday sunset. In the morning, or Tuesday a.m., on the way to Jerusalem, the question of the disciples about the fig tree. In Jerusalem again, and in the temple. In Jerusalem, teaching in parables and questions. The first great prophecy in the temple. Parenthetical statement as to the Lord's custom during the week. The second great prophecy on the Mount of Olives. The second great prophecy continued. By the way, since we just studied it, note the passage. This is Matthew 24 and 25 that we just finished studying, dealing with the prophecy of Jesus Christ to the disciples' questions. So, the second great prophecy continuing, Matthew 25, 1 through 46. After 2 days is the Passover, Matthew 26, 1 through 5, he returns to Bethany and is present at the Second Supper in the house of Simon the leper, the second anointed. Now, the day before the Passover, 14th of Nisan, the preparation day, the day of crucifixion. Our Tuesday sunset to Wednesday sunset. The plot of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord. The preparation for the Last Supper. The even was come, our Tuesday, after sunset, when the plot for the betrayal was ripe for execution. The Last Supper, commencing with the washing of the feet. The announcement of the betrayal. The supper eaten, the new covenant made, the lamb abolished, bread and wine substituted. And we studied how he finished the Passover, introduced the Lord's Supper. The first prophecy of Peter's denial, the strife, who should be the greatest. The second prophecy of Peter's denials, the first appeal of his commission, the last discourse to the 11, followed by his prayer. That's John 17. That is the Lord's Prayer, John 17. They then go to Gethsemane. This is late in the evening now. the third prophecy of Peter's denial, the agony in the garden, the apprehension of the Lord, the escape of Lazarus, the trials continue throughout our Tuesday night about the sixth, and we studied all six trials, about the sixth hour, our Tuesday night, Pilate said, "Behold your king." He's led away to be crucified and led with him two malefactors. Discussion with Pilate about the inscriptions, the dividing of the garments. It was the third hour, and they crucified him at 9 a.m. Wednesday morning. Then were the two robbers crucified with him. The revilings of the rulers, both robbers and one malefactor. We studied all of this, the blasphemy that he got while hanging on the cross. The Lord's mother and John, and we studied all of that. The sixth hour, our Wednesday noon, and the darkness that shrouded the area at noon. The ninth hour, our Wednesday, 3 p.m., and the expiring cry. Subsequent events. Buried in haste before sunset, our Wednesday before 6 p.m., before the high day. The first day of the feast began our Wednesday sunset. The first day of the feast, the high day, Yom Tov, the 50th day of Nisan, our Wednesday sunset to Thursday sunset, first night, first day, second day of the feast, 16th day of Nisan, our Thursday sunset to Friday sunset, second night, second day, third day of feast, the nightly Sabbath, the 17th day of Nisan, our Friday to Saturday, the third night and third day of the tomb, the first day of the week, the 18th day of Nisan, our Saturday sunset, the third day of Matthew, not the third day of the feast. Thus, the resurrection of the Lord took place at our Saturday sunset or thereabouts on the third day, after 3 days. For the sequence of events connected with the following, the resurrection, and the point. It will be seen from above that we have neither power nor authority to alter or shift any day or date or to change the order of our position of any of the events recorded in the Holy Scripture. Each day is marked by a certain, by return to Bethany during the last week and up to the preparation day, and each day is filled with the recorded events. It follows, therefore, that the Lord was crucified on our Wednesday, was buried on that day before sunset, remained 3 days and three nights in the tomb, as foretold by him in Matthew, rising from the dead on the third day, the first day of the week. The fixed days and dates at either end hold the whole period as in a vice, and place the whole subject on sure foundation. The words in Mark and Luke refer to the first day of unleavened bread, which was the 14th day of Nisan, and therefore the preparation day. That is why the Lord goes on to tell two disciples to go in and make preparation for the Passover. So that just gives you that information. Now, any questions? I'm not asking, do you agree? That's up to you, and you're dealing with the text.
This is a couple of kilometers from Bethany. Why did they return to Bethany?
Because
they started out at Bethany, 2 kilometers away. But they returned every time to Bethany.
That was the place where he felt comfortable with his friends. There was no place in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was filled with thousands and hundred thousands of people, and hardly any of them were his friends. And Bethany were his friends that he could spend that time with. Okay. Now you got a second handout. Second handout. And let's just quickly, let me show you this, and then we'll close. This is by another one, Wayne Blake. And all I want to do is give you another one so you know this isn't just one weirdo that I pulled up. The two Sabbaths of the Passover. And he, in his opening paragraph, most Christian professing people are aware that the sixth day of the week, Friday, is the equivalent on the Roman calendar, is the preparation day for the Sabbath, which was just as much a Christian in ancient Old Testament times as it is today, and he develops it through. And it came to, and he, all this does is the same thing, and if you'll go, let's see, I think it's to the third page, is where he'll start taking you through. Yes, third day, third page, Sunday, a sunset Monday, sunset Tuesday, preparation, sunset Tuesday, sunset Wednesday, crucifixion, sunset Wednesday. He gives the same type of information with a lot less, the same information with a lot less information in between. That's why I like the first one. I like lots of information. But he doesn't give you a lot. He just kind of summarizes it for you. Sunset Wednesday to sunset Thursday, Christ in the tomb, day one, sunset Thursday, sunset Friday, sunset Friday, sunset Saturday, sunset Saturday, sunset Sunday, and so you can just kind of read through, and it gives you a fact finder. And by the way, there are others. These two were so well done that I wanted you to have them. Okay, any questions? Okay, so what tonight was, and I'm just so thankful you're here. I'm so thankful that you people care about what saith the Word of God. What's going on in Scripture? You wouldn't want me just to whitewash it and overlook it. Let's deal with the problems. I'm not afraid to look at any problems, quote, problems in Scripture that people say that are there. I'm not afraid to do that. So, doesn't mean I always have the answer. And if I don't have the answer, I'll tell you. I don't know, but I'll find out. Now, when I first started out at a seminary, I was never that brave. I don't know. No. I knew everything. I've reached a point in life, I know very little. Very little. And so what I don't know, I'll find out, and we'll go through it in the test. So next Wednesday night, we will study the tomb in which Christ is laid, and we study the three silent days of history, silent nights of history, and then we will come to the resurrection. Let's close in a word of prayer. We praise you, Heavenly Father, that you loved us, that you sent your Son to die on the cross, to rise again, never to die, so that he could give to us resurrection. All of these facts, like we're studying tonight, Father, they're in the text. We want to know them. We want to understand them. We want to understand complications of Scripture. Be able to see if we can figure out what's going on, the power of the Spirit, the being of your Spirit. Father, we thank you that Christ rose from the dead and gives to us that same assurance of resurrection. And Sunday morning in Thessalonians, we're studying the rapture. Keeping our eyes set on meeting the Lord in the air. Not in dying, but meeting the Lord in the air. Father, we thank you for tonight's blessings. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to these things and maybe take some time to study this, go over it, be sure we understand it. Father, we praise you. In your Son's precious name and for his glory. Amen.